To the masterclass as Wednesdays are devoted to immersing ourselves in a particular subject matter. And today it's all about collecting. I was saying just before the latest in EWN that if something exists, somebody somewhere collects those things. What are you collecting? I want to hear from you. I want to know from you about those things that you love, that you're collecting, that give us a sense of who you are, that populate your house and tell your story. New stuff doesn't usually have the character. You might be someone who adores the rust, the chipped paint, the history that comes with a particular piece. There are new trends as well in this arena, which we'll be exploring. My guest is the one and only Clyde Terry, and we'll get the masterclass started in a moment.
702 Masterclass.
Walter Benjamin once said, "Oh, bliss of the collector, bliss of the man of leisure, of no one has less than been expected, and no one has had a greater sense of well-being than a collector. Ownership is the most intimate relationship one can have to objects. Not that they come alive in him, it is he who comes alive in them." And that's what we're looking at today in the masterclass. Collecting. Collecting. If there's something that exists, trust me, there are people out there collecting that particular category. And it is, for some people, it can be a childhood hobby. But for others, it's also a lifelong pursuit, or one that begins in adulthood. What are you collecting? What have been some of the joys and the lessons that you've learned over the years of collecting? And now we have a resource like the internet, which offers many resources to any collector. There are sites where you can collect or connect with fellow collectors. There are catalogs, there are dealers, there are shops. It has just transformed how we're able to connect around this activity of collecting. Maybe you belong to a club or collector forums. What are the conversations? What are the trends and the challenges? It is 011-883-0702-31702 for your SMSs. I want to know what you're collecting. And joining us is Clyde Terry, who is an antique dealer. Good afternoon, Clyde. You join us in our Cape Town studios. A pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. How are you doing today?
I am very good. Very, very good. I'm excited to talk about this because I had to think back about all the things I've collected over the years and stopped collecting and then fell in love with another type of category, started collecting that, and how far I got to go with each one. Currently, I'm obsessed with tea sets. There's an entire cupboard in the kitchen that has beautiful tea sets. So
and hopefully you're using them all.
Some of them. They have to be chosen. They have to be selected.
Well, those times have changed quite a lot in recent years of people, putting tea sets and that on display in display cabinets and never using them. The
yes.
younger people today who are collecting are wanting to love and enjoy the items a lot more than people in the past did.
Yeah.
So I'm finding a lot of the younger people, they're buying a tea set and they're wanting to have tea parties. They're wanting to enjoy those items a lot more than my mom or dad might have done in those years.
Yes, absolutely. I think at one point or another, many of us have collected something. Is this true for you as well?
Yes, I had very, very, quite a huge range of things I collected as a young boy. I used to collect seashells. I used to collect stamps. And then at one point I moved on to collecting things out of Rick Coffee tins, the little weighed animals that used to come in long time ago. Some
yes.
people might recall them.
Uh-huh.
They used to come in Rick Coffee tins and my brother and I used to fight about those. Who was going to find them in the tin?
Mm.
So yeah, you know, as a child, you do grow up as a collector in a strange way. And then I find with the antique fairs, a lot of people walk into an antique shop or an antique fair and they're reminded of something of their past.
Mm.
And they might just see those Beswick ducks flying on the wall and they remember their childhood and they start buying, you know, they buy them because it connects to something, their parents' home, their youth. And a collector's born in a very strange way sometimes when they do venture into an antique shop or around an antique fair.
Right. And we'll look at that as we take calls about how you were born into collecting or that birth came about. Gareth, you're calling from Joburg. Good afternoon.
Hi, good day.
Yes, welcome, Gareth.
Yes, hi, Zania. Nice show. Thank you. I collect antique retro consoles and video games and figures as well.
Are you serious? I remember there was that cream on. Was it a Nintendo? And you put the cartridge on top. Tell me you have that.
Yeah, I've got one of those as well as the Super NES, Atari 26, Jaguar, everything, man.
Jeez. How did the love begin, Gareth?
Look, I grew up playing video games. I mean, I've been playing video games for as long as I could walk, you know. Uh-huh. And, you know, it got to a point where I couldn't, you know, when I got older, I couldn't afford these machines. So, you know, I bided my time and I waited and waited and waited. And, you know, eventually when I got promoted and stuff like that, earned a lot more money, you know, I was able to go and hunt for these things and I found them.
Right. And how big is the collection? How big would you say it is?
You know, my collection's valued roughly at about 50,000 rand.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
There's still some stuff there in boxes and everything, like mint condition, you know. You're too scared to touch it sometimes.
Yes, that's the thing. Like a client said, that is changing. We are opening up those the wrapping and we're using, but I guess it depends on the category and what you want to do with your collectibles. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Cheers. Keep well.
Thank you. There are a couple of things, Clyde, that came up in the conversation with Gareth, that there was a time when he couldn't afford. How much of that, the scarcity, a sense of poverty, how much of an influence is that when it comes to why we fall in love or get into collecting?
Well, I think, you know, I've had my antique shop in Melville for 20 odd years. And the reason I love Melville is you get, I get a lot of students coming in wanting to buy something reasonable for Mother's Day or Father's Day. But one day they are qualified and they're a doctor or whatever, and they come in and they buy more serious collectibles or antiques from us. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea when we started the National Antique Fair 17 years ago was to break the mold that antiques are very expensive. There are lots of areas of collecting and putting a valuable collection together, such as what Gareth has just told you now.
Mm-hmm.
Some things sort of are popular, very expensive, they fall off the wagon, they then become affordable, and that's the time to buy. You know, there was an interesting story recently of an original Apple Mac computer being found in a office block in New York,
mm-hmm.
and it was still in its box, and it got absolutely millions of dollars when it came up for sale because it had never been touched.
Ooh.
So there's these type of things that the young people, such as Gareth, in the beginning when all these things were popular, he couldn't afford them. And now today, he's looking at them. He can go to charity shops. He can go to antique fairs. He can go around the markets. And he can probably pick these things up quite reasonably and build up a nice collection that one day as a collection has a great value.
Absolutely. So you would recommend that with certain categories, you leave it in its original packaging, leave it in mint condition.
There are lots and lots of categories that things are more desirable because they haven't been opened,
right,
such as dinky toys, Barbie dolls, Gareth's angle of what he's collecting, collecting vinyl records. A lot of them are more valuable because there's some that you might find are still sealed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things, a real collector won't open them, you know, because the value is that it's sort of untouched by man. So they have a lot more value because of that. But then a lot of collectors, what they do is, let's say there's a Madonna fan out there and they find an original vinyl in that hasn't been opened. They will then find one that is open that they can use and enjoy and play it. You know, vinyls are coming back hugely in this day and age as well, with the sort of ardent music people out there. They're loving to go searching for all the original vinyl albums.
Yes. Wow. Let's take this call from Emmanuel as well. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello.
Yes, Emmanuel. Welcome.
Hi, good day, Zanya.
Yes, you're on the air, Emmanuel.
Hi, Zanya. Hi. You won't believe it. 30 years ago, I just started collecting the front page of a Star newspaper, cutting it off and putting it away. And it just carried on. And then now that 2 weeks ago, my wife decided now she's going to throw them away. So I said, no, leave them because, you know, it's nice to look back.
Yes.
And you won't believe it. Someone told me, he says, but Emmanuel, why don't you put on the internet, you sell the fan page to people who were born on that certain day?
That would be lovely.
How much money to make if you work it out at 100 rand each?
Yeah, 100 rand each.
Yes, are you making a tidy profit on your investment on the newspapers?
Exactly.
Yes. I think I'm going to go in business with you.
I'm telling you, and I worked it out that if I can sell it 200 rand a page, I'm going to make 1.9 million.
Yeah, it would be. Hence, Clyde is saying it would be a great business to get into. But how have you looked after them? How have you ensured that the ink and the quality of the paper is maintained?
No, the quality of the paper is perfect. I took them, I didn't fold them, and I just put them flat.
Yeah.
Now and then I would like divide them. They are immaculate.
Oh,
and none of them have gone sort of yellow in color.
Because that's the problem with this kind of collectible, isn't it, Clyde? The yellow or even the writing
the
fading.
The paper changes, because newspapers printed on like a very basic quality of paper because it's not really meant to last a long time.
Absolutely.
So if you can keep it crisp and no yellowing and that, then you've achieved a great thing.
There you go.
Well,
Emmanuel?
I think that because I've spoken to so many people and they're offering me 200 and 300 and for the page. I'm getting SMSs left, right and center.
Wow. Well, good luck with that.
Advertising.
Millionaire in the making. Thank you. That's Emmanuel in Edenvale.
That's a new one.
It is indeed. So, Clyde, with that kind of collectible, where you have to get involved in its preservation, in maintaining the quality, what would your advice be?
Well, you know what? Whatever you might be collecting in terms of whether you're collecting porcelain like you do, whether you're collecting Roald Dalton ladies, tea sets, like this gentleman paperwork, you have to check the environment that it needs to be kept in, i.e. newspapers and magazines in an area where there's no dampness and that, because that's what causes the change of
the
yellowing of the paper
yes.
and the mold and all of those things. So you have to just make sure you're looking after your collection. I mean, same as if you're a vintage wine collector, you're going to have to make sure to hold value to that wine, that you're keeping it in the right temperatures and all of those things. So there is certain avenues of collecting involve a lot more finance to look after the items, you know.
Absolutely.
And if you're collecting silver, for instance, you just have to invest in good silver cleaners, make sure your items are polished on a regular basis. A lot of people don't understand porcelain too well or china too well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like you could put a tea set in a cupboard and never ever touch it and take it out in 10 years' time and pieces might have cracked. And it's because it is unbeknown to most of us, it's a living thing and it needs to be washed and it needs to be kept damp at times and it needs to be preserved to stop it from getting a lot of display cabinets get very dry inside, especially in high temperatures, and it causes cracks in china. You know, I did a house call a while ago where a lady had a couple of hundred Roald Dalton ladies in a cupboard and she had never taken them out. And out of that collection, about 15 of them had actually cracked in the cupboard.
Oh.
You know, because people don't realize you put your heaters on, you change the temperature in your home over winter, especially in Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
And these things can create a problem in a display cabinet. So you need to take things out. A good collector will take china out every couple of months and wash it and clean it and put it back because it needs it.
Because that is a great lesson. So ceramics, porcelains, just be mindful if you collect in that area, how you need to look after them. Stefan in Krugersdorp, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, Stefan. You're also a collector. What do you collect?
Yeah, some yo-yos. From the 80s and 70s and 60s, preferably the South African ones, the ones that got Afrikaans written on the one side and English on the other.
Okay. I remember yo-yo so well. I remember as kids and the brands, the branded ones, they were great fun.
Yeah.
Did you start as a child or did you start in adult years?
Adult years. I came across one at an antique shop and it just brought so many memories back that I ended up looking and searching and finally I found all ones that I need.
Do you have the solid gold yo-yo from Coca-Cola?
No, unfortunately. No,
it's just interesting.
The genuine Russell, the Russell ones. Have you got one?
No, it's just interesting. I mean, you're the third yo-yo collector I've come across in all my years of being in business. And I had a yo-yo collector in the shop last year from Australia. And he, the only yo-yo he's like searching the world for is the solid gold yo-yo from Coca-Cola. So I found it quite fascinating because he came in and he said, "Do you have any yo-yos?" And I thought to myself, really? No, I don't have yo-yos. But, you know, it's quite an interesting field of collecting. And there's quite a – I have discovered subsequently on Facebook and that there's quite a lot of you – yo-yo fanatics out there collecting these things. So it's quite wonderful. You know, that as you said earlier on, if something exists, somebody's going to collect it, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's the truth of all these things.
But Stefan, just out of curiosity, do you belong to a community? How do you go about searching and finding and adding to your collection?
You know, there's quite a couple of different ways I go about it. Some would be internet searches, but mostly it's basically walking into these second-hand shops, looking what the guys have got.
Okay.
And sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes you go to the guy and he wants, the price of a car for it.
It's a lovely one. Thank you for the call.
A lot of money.
Yeah, Stefan, thank you so much for the call. We're going to get to Barney's call in a minute. He'll tell us about what his wife is collecting. But Clyde, just to come back to this issue of seeking out to add to your collection and even being able to categorize and document and get the history behind a particular object, therein lies part of the excitement and the fun in collecting. How difficult is that, and what are some of the options and ways of seeking new additions to your collection?
Well, look, as you mentioned earlier on, in this day and age, because of the internet, there's a lot of options. I always recommend to people to come to antique fairs, visit local antique shops, also go to the charity shops, but get involved with the dealers in your area. Tell them what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are a bit scared to say, hey, Clyde, I'm looking for a yo-yo. But the thing is, we the people who go into a lot of people's homes, and I might not buy a yo-yo unless I know somebody's out there looking for it. So the whole thing is to sort of make sure you're contacting the dealers, come to the antique fairs. And then on the internet, there's lots. I mean, on Facebook, there's Royal Albert Collectors Clubs. There's Ladro Collectors Clubs. Facebook is a huge changing community now with lots of different collecting clubs. There's antique collecting sites. Mm-hmm. There is a one that I was on recently because I went into a home in Cape Town and the family were selling some stuff, but their two children were there and their beer bottle top collectors. It was the first beer bottle top collectors that I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I found it quite fascinating. They stand out, they go to like Zambia or whatever, and they go outside and they collect all the beer tops from the restaurants and the bars to trade with other people throughout the world.
Sure.
And it's not a money thing. They literally package and they send a package of 50 bottle tops to say a collector in Canada, and then they send them a batch of back to South Africa or wherever they might be. And it's quite an interesting community, you know. And I couldn't believe it when they took me to show me their collection. I thought, wow, this is once again a different level of collecting. But, you know, if there's something that triggers in each and every one of us, and that trigger can be so different.
Mm.
And in this day and age, you can link yourself so easily to different communities. And if there isn't a community there, start one on Facebook.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And I mean, I started a few on Facebook over the last 2 years, and you gain momentum and you get collectors and you get people interested. And what's nice for me is collectors can go onto the groups and they can swap information. If they find something they're wanting to know about, it's an unusual pattern.
Mm.
They'll post it on maybe the Royal Albert group and say, does anyone know what this pattern is called?
Mm.
And it's a great way. This day and age, we just live in a phenomenal age, really,
yes,
where you can do that.
Yes, but Clyde, you know, stay with us. Let's pause there, and we'll continue the conversation. Let's first take headlines. Tara's just joined us in studio. It's 29 minutes to 3, and we'll continue with the Masterclass on collecting.
702 Masterclass.
We're back with antique dealer Clyde Terry for today's masterclass. We're looking at collecting, some of the trends, what the younger generation is choosing to do with their collectibles, how they're collecting, and all sorts of questions have come through about how to maintain your collection, how to get started. And you can join the conversation on 011-883-0702. Some of the tweets and messages, Zap says, the problem I have is that I've not kept my 35-year-old Mad Mags in sealed plastic bags. Oh, so it's never too late. Perhaps you can find an intervention, find a way of preserving the quality. Oh, Mad Mags were the best. Another one says, I collect baseball cards, have done so since I was a child, and have the complete 1992 Major League Baseball collection all the way here in South Africa. I wonder how difficult that is. Wow. But I guess we have the internet, right? And then Dima says, I collect 2 rand coins that have houses of parliament. I'm told only 7,000 were minted. Also, the 2 rand coins celebrating the 10th anniversary of democracy. They don't have extra value, though. This comes from Dima. So whenever she gets one, she gets them into her hands, she hangs onto them. Barney, good afternoon. You're in Joburg South. Good afternoon.
Is that Zanya?
Yes, Bonnie. Welcome.
I say, yeah, thanks very much. I've got a fairly unusual, but I suppose every child does collect them, and that is teddy bears. Mm. And it's my wife that does. And the last time I counted was about 4,200, but I'm sure it's over 4,500.
4,200 teddy bears, Bonnie. Where do you keep them all?
Let me just tell you that my house is not a house, it's a toy shop.
It's there's no lack of cuddling going on there, I should imagine.
And in the bedroom, there must be 500 eyes watching me every move I make. So it's.
I think you're creating a sort of horror movie here out of teddy bears, and you better not do that.
No, I'm just saying, it's been a, I wouldn't say a lifelong, a hobby for my wife, probably over the last 30 years, but she was really attached to her original one, which is in incredibly poor condition, with still with straw, and the eyes are missing, and the ears, and a bit of nose. So, since then, she's got all sorts, from small little tiny miniatures to huge bears. So,
well, you might be thankful to know that your wife is not the only person in the world with this disease. Lots of people collect teddy bears, and a lot of people are triggered from a bear teddy bear they've had since childhood. It's a great thing, and lots of stores in the world today make an annual bear that goes out that people do collect. So it's a great field of collecting.
Oh, Bonnie.
Absolutely.
Would you consider opening your house up for tourists, for people to come and have a look? Because in Japan, there is a man, he's 67, he collects Hello Kitty items, all sorts of Hello Kitty themed toys. And he's opened up his house with his wife's blessing for people to also come and look and have a look whenever they're in that part of the country.
You know, I've thought of that a lot. But unfortunately, when you open up your house, you open up it to all sorts of
characters.
Characters, and then just one never knows what will go missing.
Right.
I think
you should come and put some teddy bears on display at one of the antique fairs and show your collection that way.
We do
monthly fairs at Nelson Mandela Square, Brooklyn Square, and Hyde Park. And you're welcome to give me a shout, and we can arrange that you showcase your collection for the day to a few people. It's always fun. I love collectors who want to come and showcase collections, because it also sparks off things and people to collect.
Absolutely. Barney,
I think that's a great idea, and I'll certainly ask my wife to get hold of you. But the one sort of her pride of joy is there comes from Teddy Roosevelt, when they caught he was out hunting, and they found a young little bear wandering around without its mother, and it coined its name from then. And she was over at the International Teddy Bear Fair in London, Kensington. And the Teddy Roosevelt's son was there signing collectible bears. So that's her pride of joy.
Oh, wow, Bonnie, what a fantastic story. Yep. So please connect with Clyde, keep listening, and we'll give out his details.
Definitely, I will get hold of your station and get the number.
Fantastic. That's Barney, whose wife collects teddy bears. What a lovely story, Clyde.
Yes, we all collect something, hey?
As you said, it's not even a house.
No.
So it looks like a toy shop. So, Siso, you're out in Benoni. Good afternoon.
Ow. Afternoon, Azaneno Kest.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, I'm collecting money notes, but under my collection, I have South African notes. Mm-hmm. You still remember the 1 rand note, the 2 rand note,
yes.
And also the 5 rand note. Do you remember the pink one?
Yes, I do remember that. So how have you kept them? Are they in good condition or are they all used up and tired?
I framed them.
Oh, okay. Is that a good idea, Clyde, to frame?
Yes, it is. I mean, look, notes need to be kept in a specific way, obviously, because they are paper and lots of people. I think the SA Mint will love you. We've got lots of dealers who specialize in dealing in coins and notes and things like that. So I think that it is a specific field of collecting and it is huge. You get some very rare notes. Mm. And what people don't understand about a note, is that it tells a story of a country and it tells a story of a specific time.
Mm.
So quite often, if you go back and you find a note from 1820 or something and you look at it, everything on that note tells you about the time that it was made. It's got information and it's actually, last year we sat down with one of our dealers who specializes in this field, with John Keogh, and it was quite fascinating with him because he sat down with three notes and he said, just look at this lady standing here and look at this and look at this. This tells you the whole story of that period of history of that country. So it's quite a remarkable field that you are collecting. And, you know, a lot of these notes, when they're discontinued, they get taken back and they just get destroyed.
Yes.
So if people are able to take hold of them and collect them, they do eventually gain a lot of value, and it is a wonderful thing to collect.
So keep at it. Do you have those before the Randellas, before the Mandela notes?
Before the Mandela notes?
Yes.
No, I only have those ones, the old ones.
Don't stop there. You should collect all of them.
I'm continuing. And on the coins ones, I have, do you remember the children that we used to call it Pondo? Yeah, the big one. I have it, and I also have the coins. Some of Fenty and the old cents.
Yes. Yeah.
No, you should come to the antique fair at the Mall of Africa on the 28th to the 30th of July and meet the one coin dealer that's there, because it's great for someone like you to come and introduce yourself to a specialist dealer in your field and learn, you know, come and look, because quite often at the antique fairs, you might notice something and then you start collecting further afield than you are collecting currently.
Yes, I think he must grow his scope, not stop where he is now. Sandy in Roodepoort. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Azra. I inherited a stamp collection that goes back to about 100 years. And it's been in my cupboard. I'm not a stamp collector. But I would like to know who I can go to have a look at these things for me.
You're speaking to him on the radio now, Clyde.
Right. I'll give out my email address with your permission just now. You can drop me an email and I'll put you in contact with Paul in Pretoria. He's the head of the Philately Association of South Africa, and that's the right field for you to go in. You have to bear in mind with the stamp collection, because I was a stamp collector as a kid. You go through a whole journey of collecting, and very few of your stamps might get huge value. And if you've got any luck, out of 4 or 5 albums, you might have 40 or 50 that have accrued great value.
Mm.
But, you know, that's why you have to go to somebody like Paul. He'll go through your albums. He'll let you know what's the most collectible. And he'll also, you know, he'll tell you if there's any there items there that are worth selling what you'll get for them. Invariably then the balance of the album you might just have to keep, give to a grandchild,
yes,
or do something like that with. You know,
absolutely.
It's quite sad in a family sometimes. Maybe you find one of your grandchildren would like to the albums as well, you know, to continue that collecting.
From generation to generation. Sandy, I'm sure you want to know the value of what's in there and the historical importance.
Exactly. Yeah. But the problem is I'm a senior citizen. I don't have email. I don't have a computer. All I have is a telephone.
All right.
Okay.
Sandy,
well, I'll give out my number as well. Yeah. And then you can send me an SMS or you can just leave me a message and I'll phone you with his number for sure.
So I'll also put you back to my producer and he'll be able to give you Clyde's details. Greg, good afternoon. You're in Greenside. Hello.
Hi. Greg speaking. How are you again? Yeah?
Very good, Greg. Welcome.
Look, I've got a question to your guest. I am a doctor, but I also world explorer. For 7 years, my boat African Star is going from the place to the place where not many people went to, and I'm collecting statues of the gods.
Statues?
Not gods, but gods.
Yes, statues of the gods, or are you saying statues?
Yeah, the gods.
All the various gods, the deities.
Yes. I've got over hundreds of them now, and the question is, does he know anyone who collects the statues of the gods?
Wow. Clyde?
Well, there's lots of people who do collect items such as what you do collect. One of the most important aspects of that type of collecting is that it has antiquity value rather than just the commercial value of today, which is very tourist orientated. So if you're going into different places today, you have to make sure, you know, if you're looking for a collection that has value and you're looking for antique value, you sort of need to know what you're doing in your particular field to make sure that you're collecting ones that are original, because there's hundreds and thousands that get copied and made today in lots of the countries. So, you know, because they're tourist entrapment items, some are sold as antiques, but they're not. So it's quite a specific field. And when something like that comes up for sale, it's a specific collector that will be able to assist you and dealer that would be able to help you get information about the wood, if they're wood carving ones, if they're china, and have a look at the value of them. But I do know three or four people that do have a similar collecting interest to you.
Okay.
But I think you misunderstood me. I'm not collecting gods which are in the shops. I'm collecting old gods, forgotten gods. For example, Changa, the only black Jesus Christ in the world, the seven step gods.
So you're collecting the original ones?
The original one, like Mapunara. There's hundreds of them which are not, you can't find them in the shop.
I see.
You can find them only from the places where the other people know that the gods exist there. Somebody curved this god a long time ago, and this is what I am talking about.
Oh, I see, Greg.
Well, look, I have my one friend who does collect similar to what you collect, and he goes into the rural areas, he meets with the people, he talks to them, and that's how he acquires quite a lot of his collection, which is probably a similar way to what you are doing it. And that's the only real way to get hold of the original early carvings and the early pieces.
Yes, as he says, he's had to travel quite extensively. Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk about the price, you know, because it suggests the idea that the price is generally set by the buyer, and once it gets into the second to the second person, once it starts to move, and how the value is generated and comes about. But stay with us. We'll continue this masterclass. Lots of you asking for Clyde's details, and we'll give you details to that stamper assessor in a short while. But after this, we continue and wrap up the masterclass with Clyde Terry, an antique dealer.
702 Masterclass.
And we're back with Clyde Terry. Clyde, let's pick up where we left off. We'll come back to the phone lines. But the determination of the value, the minute it gets into somebody else's hands, we have a new set value for a particular product, a particular item. How does it all work?
Well, look, in the industry, for predominantly things do have a price that they are that are willing buyers prepared to sell it for, buy it in at from a dealer or from a trader. So, you know, quite often on the internet, you'll find people putting something out that's hugely overpriced, and that, of course, they're never going to manage to sell it. So, you know, collectors out there, we don't work on a huge markup when we buy and sell something. So the thing is that we fundamentally a bridge between you, the seller, and the collector as a dealer. We do all the antique fairs. We're in contact with the collector, and that's our fundamental position. Mm-hmm. When it comes to pricing, you always sort of gauge what somebody's prepared to pay. In this day and age, you know, with collecting jewelry, obviously jewelry has a set value because it has its gold value, it has its diamond or its stone value. Mm. Then once again, when you go to collecting silver, silver has its silver value. And then a lot of items like that are gauged value, especially in the silver world, by the maker.
Okay.
So you'd have a very important silversmith who might have made something, and that tea set could sell for 30 to 50, 60,000 rand more than a conventional tea set.
Okay.
But, you know, in the same silver type of thing, just because it's made by an important maker. Hmm. So quite often as a collector, you just have to get a little bit more involved in what you're collecting. And it's quite easy for people sometimes to say something is expensive. Things like this are expensive to buy, because they have always been high quality items. Mm. But however, in the world of collecting today, of antiques and collectibles, you have a lot of people collecting retro clothing. Vintage costume jewelry is a huge trend worldwide publicly.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of very important vintage jewelry makers as well. So it's not only about maybe collecting solid gold, good diamonds. There's the vintage jewelry side. There's a huge trend to collecting vintage clothing.
Yes.
We have two phenomenal vintage clothing dealers at the Mall of Africa Fair as well, from the 28th to the 30th of July. And they've put together a great selection of vintage clothing for the public.
I want to go to Ngobisa, actually, because that is what she collects. Ngobisa, you might have to make your way to this fair at Mall of Africa, considering the two large retailers that will be there, or vintage clothing sellers. This is what you collect.
Hi,
Azhar. Hi there, how are you doing? Are you well?
I'm good, Clyde, and how are you?
Very good, thank you. You collect vintage clothing. That's amazing.
Yes, I'm Gobisa, collecting vintage clothes. And how I started, I loved vintage clothes. I started collecting them for myself. And, you know, I would never pass a charity store or a secondhand shop without going in, because I know that, you know, by going in, you'll find a gem.
Yeah.
So I started collecting, and then after collecting, I thought, you know, I could make some money out of it, and started selling. So that's how.
Well, that's wonderful for you. You know, there's plenty of people who've collected. I mean, one of my icons is Barbara Streisand, who she started one of the most phenomenal collections of vintage clothing. And still till today, just like you, she says, I cannot go past a thrift shop or charity shop without going in to see what vintage clothing has been thrown out. And,
yes.
You know, and she's got one of the biggest collections in the world of what you collect.
Oh, wow. Well, Ngobisa, it will be worth your while to check out the fair at Mall of Africa to see what else you can stumble upon. Let's also hear from John in Sandton, because we do have to wrap up before the news. John, you collect coins.
Yes, actually, the coins that I inherited from my dad.
Yes.
My late dad. And I've got, which sometimes since I counted them, but they're around between 45 and 50. Three half crowns.
Half crowns. What would that be? The shilling.
Yeah, the shilling.
Sure.
The 2.5 shillings. Yeah, 2.5 shillings.
Yes, and you can pass that on as well, since you had inherited it. Yes, Clyde.
Have you taken your collection to anybody to have it valued, to have it assessed?
No, I've never done that, so I don't know how to go by doing it, and who could I trust with those.
Okay, well, John, I guess that leads us to where we need to wrap up. We're out of time, Clyde, but there are people clamoring to get your information so that they can get you in there to evaluate their collections.
It's a long time since anybody's clamored for me, so that's stunning.
So how do we reach you?
You can contact me on my cell, which is
082-883-4933.
Mm-hmm. Anybody wanting to email, I'll give you my personal email. It's Clyde, C-L-Y-D-E.
Yes.
Then the numeral 4, T for Tommy, H for Harry, at mweb.co.za.
All right. So it's Clyde, T-H, at
mweb. No, Clyde, fourth. Yeah,
oh, Clyde
fourth. Digit 4, T-H. Yeah, so it's like a little bit of a play.
Perfect.
Clyde fourth, yeah.
It's been lovely, Clyde. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. And do pop along to the Antique Fair next weekend.
Absolutely. Mall of Africa from the 28th to the 30th of July.